Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Youth Speaks Out is being funded by Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens, or HALT, a program designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Tonight's hosts are me, Jessica, and
Summer,
Shiloh,
Shayla.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Tonight our topic is free speech and youth. An important part of our education is learning about our rights as citizens of a free society. Many of these rights are guaranteed by our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Freedom of speech is one of the fundamental rights which many generations of Americans have fought to protect. As young people, we are often looked upon with suspicion by the older members of society. And many would say that part of growing up is testing the limits to see how far we can go before authority figures intervene. In Alaska in 2002, a young man stood along the parade route of the Olympic torch relay, holding a banner reading, "Bong Hits for Jesus." He knew the event was being televised and thought of his actions as a prank. He was suspended from high school even though he was off school grounds and not in school at the time. His case finally made it to the Supreme Court in June of 2007, and his punishment was upheld because the banner concerned an illegal substance. Many see this ruling, Morse v. Frederick, as chipping away at the fundamental freedoms we in America are raised and educated to be proud of. At a Napa Valley Middle School, a 7th grade honor student was put in detention for wearing socks depicting a Winnie the Pooh character called Tigger. The Napa Valley Unified School District requires that all clothing and backpacks must be entirely solid colors, and only blue, white, green, yellow, khaki, gray, brown, or black. Also, no denim-looking clothing is permitted, nor are pictures, symbols, words, or logos. California law allows schools to adopt dress codes to address gang problems and other safety concerns. Schools can also require students to wear uniforms if parents are given 6 months' notice and are allowed to exempt their children. Uniforms are required in some San Francisco schools and in nearly all elementary and middle schools in San Jose. In Mendocino County, the rules governing student clothing vary from school to school. We'll discuss the rules at Laytonville High School and hope others will call in later to describe the situation at their schools. In general, there's a ban on clothing which may symbolize gang affiliation, and shirts which advertise alcohol, tobacco, or illegal substances are not allowed. Are these rules enforced evenly across the student body, or are some students allowed to dress more freely than others? And what about uniforms? Would having all students dress alike be a limit to free speech and expression? Or would it level the economic and social playing fields and do away with worries over clothing that may be sexually provocative? We hope that later on you'll want to discuss this with us. So this afternoon we want to discuss free speech and free expression in the schools and in our culture. We'll talk about these topics here in the studio for a while, then we'll ask you to join in on the phone. We're at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. Let's begin by talking about what our dress codes at Laytonville High are and if we are free to express ourselves on and off campus. We'll talk about the cases from Alaska and Napa Valley. So, Summer, do you feel limited by the dress codes at our school? And do you think that uniforms might improve the nature of our education?
I think that a semi-uniformal high school might be nice or level like the playing field, like you said, and that way there wouldn't be a lot of like issues that are happening in other schools today, even though they're not necessarily happening in Laytonville. now, they might evolve and spread upward towards Northern California.
But don't you feel that uniforms would limit how people feel about themselves? When they dress to show a certain part of their personality or what their character is.
I think that if we just had, say, a polo that was a certain color, maybe our school colors, and we could still, you know, like, wear what kind of pants or shoes or jewelry or do our hair up and makeup. Like, there's lots of other ways to express yourself than just by what you wear, even though what you wear is really a big part.
But don't some girls feel like they have to dress a different way to be able to fit in?
Well, if cliques are an issue, then maybe uniforms would be a good idea.
Instead of having people get together by what they wear, maybe people will look more at personalities.
And interests and hobbies and just goals, maybe morals and just more intellectual stuff than just physical appearances.
Well, I know I dress way different than all my friends, and we still hang out. So does that affect everyone, or does it really matter how they dress if you're friends with them?
No, I don't think that at all, but wearing uniforms might be a good idea in a sense that it'll, like, prevent a lot of conflict that happens between other people, like people that can't afford same clothes as you or something. We'd kind of rule out any, like, I'm better than you stuff.
I shop at Ross. I don't buy expensive clothes, so I don't really, you know, like, maybe other kids buy expensive clothes. I'm not really jealous of them or anything, and I don't really care. I just buy what I feel like I feel comfortable in. Sometimes I wear pajamas to school.
So you think that a uniform wouldn't necessarily do anything to our school?
I think it would do something, but I think mostly a lot of kids would rebel against it.
Yeah.
It's the problem of getting a uniform that everybody agrees on, everybody likes.
Yeah, well, if we got something simple, like a, you know, just like a simple polo, like I said, it would be really, like, it wouldn't really limit us to wearing, like, a full-blown uniform.
And do you really need to be that expressive with your clothing when you're at school, when the whole point of school is to get an education and to learn?
I think it's really the only place that you can express yourself. At work, you can't express yourself like you can at school. And, I mean, in public, you can express yourself. But at school, it's supposed to be a place that, unless you're really disturbing someone, you're supposed to be able to wear what you want or say what you want.
But should you be allowed to say what you want at school if it's derogatory to other people or makes other students or teachers feel uncomfortable?
To a certain extent. I mean, if it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, no, you shouldn't be able to say it. But, I mean, you're supposed to be able to express yourself and not be totally contained.
I know that profanity is a really big problem at our school, and it's almost gotten to the point where hearing those words every day has become redundant, and it's almost not noticed because it has become such a big part in American culture and in the culture at our high school.
So the dress code at our high school, up to date as of, you know, this coming year, is it's restrictive, but it's not that restrictive, say, as, like, the Tigger sock issue in the, I think it was Napa. Yeah. Yeah, so our dress code states that clothing or tattoos, advertising, or supporting the use of alcohol or tobacco or controlled substances is not okay, as well as vulgar or offensive writing or symbols or sexual references, excessively soiled or worn clothes, clothing that is identified as gang-related, or clothing that's not safe to the wearer or others. And indecent exposure of undergarments is a big thing. And showing your midriff and bra straps and cleavage is not a very good thing either for everybody.
Do you think that bra straps should really be, restricted? Because they're not really showing anything. It's just a strap, just like a tank top.
No, I think that's a little bogus because I wear tank tops every day and I usually wear the same or relatively the same color. So if my bra does show, it's like just another strap of the tank top. And I mean, it's not revealing. It's not showing anything, just your shoulders.
Do you think girls should be able to wear tube tops? Because it doesn't show cleavage. It just shows your shoulders. It doesn't show really anything.
It might be the problem that it could cause some boys could grab the tube top and pull it down. There's really nothing holding it up there, and they don't want any incidents to happen where it would fall down or expose yourself and someone would get upset. They're just trying to prevent problems.
Yeah, I understand that.
Do you think that the dress code is enforced evenly throughout our school campus?
Not at all. It's not at all. There's kids that come to school with ripped clothes every day, and it says in our dress code that you can't do that, and they've never gotten in trouble for it.
The dress code only really applies to certain people, but it's not just our school that it's unevenly pursued. It's in all places. It depends on who you are, what you're wearing, how much trouble you get in, who you affiliate with.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an issue in our school, because I know certain people can wear, say, sexual t-shirts, and they'll just kind of get a little slap on the hand and, oh, don't wear that tomorrow. As in other cases, other people who aren't so highly liked, they have to take their shirt off and wear the little t-shirts that the office gives them and, maybe even get suspended or something.
I know there was a girl in the art class that made a shirt that was spray painted with a silhouette of a naked girl, and she had one of the boys wear it, and he got in a lot of trouble for it. Do you guys think that's right?
Well, I know a lot of those skin t-shirts that the guys wear have, like, the classic little silhouette of the girl, kind of, like, sitting, leaning back, kind of, and they're, like, full-blown, that's, like, a naked silhouette, and they can wear it to school, and they don't get in trouble, so I don't see why that person got in trouble. Maybe just because she made it, I don't know.
But her art teacher was letting her cut them out and make them.
Well, maybe the teacher was thinking that she wouldn't wear them at school. She wasn't really too concerned about it.
Okay, so in other aspects besides clothing, do you think that free speech is restricted more on school campuses?
Freedom of speech has always been restricted. You get freedom of speech, but it's only to a certain extent, which really doesn't qualify it as freedom, because no matter what you say, you're going to have people that are against it and don't want to hear it.
But still, you're allowed to express those opinions.
Well, not necessarily. You've had people that have gotten arrested for saying certain things that might be offensive or crude to a certain extent.
Like the boy who in Alaska who had a banner saying bong hits for Jesus. I mean, he got suspended from school and he wasn't even on school grounds. Was that right?
I don't think it was right for him to get suspended because he was just expressing his opinion. And he wasn't affiliated with the school at all at that point.
And for it to get taken to the Supreme Court, I think that's a little extreme because it could have just been like what he thought was something he could, give to his religion.
I participated in a mock trial this past year, and I was a pretrial attorney, and our issue was freedom of speech. And I got to learn about how speech can be restricted and how it can't be. And one of the things that my teacher told me was that speech can be restricted more on school campuses just because of the setting. Do you think that that's right, or do you think that students should be able to express themselves just as much as adults, no matter what setting they're in?
I think that, to an extent, schools should be controlled environments, and they should be able to limit what we say, especially when it gets into negative things, and we shouldn't be able to just, you know, say racist or cruel or just things that violate people, like adults are free to do all the time. So I think it should be controlled in a school environment.
Absolutely, because at school, it's supposed to be a neutral ground. Parents send their kids there to feel safe, to be protected, and to be taught what to do out in the real world.
Do you think it's fair for kids to make fun of other kids just because they're different? And do you think that teachers should start doing something about it?
Well, that kind of gets back to the whole uniform thing. I mean, if we all wore uniforms, we wouldn't be that much different.
Not really, though, because what if there's a bigger kid and somebody goes up to him and goes, oh, hey, you're fat, ha 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 ha. That wouldn't really change if you had a uniform.
That's also where the freedom of speech thing comes in, because you shouldn't be allowed to say that.
But out in the real world, you are allowed to say that. It's different in schools just because of the setting.
Yeah, I agree. It is different.
Out in the real world, you have to deal with that stuff all the time. You're free to persecution. Like, in restaurants, the more revealing the clothing a girl will wear, the better the tips, the better that she gets noticed, the more customers that'll come in asking for her to be their waitress. Is that fair?
I don't think it is. I think in your workplace you should always have some sort of uniform because it's a place of work, not a place to show off your body.
Yeah, and employees, it should be like, for an employee, it should be a pretty controlled environment. That way everybody has the same advantage or disadvantages.
That's like having a guy wear really tight pants just to show off what he has, like. Would he get more tips for doing that, just like a girl would?
Maybe. It depends on where you're at.
I spent the summer in Wyoming, and there was a restaurant in the town that I was at that I was told all the girls that worked in there were very beautiful and in-shape girls, and the people who lived in the town that I was staying with said that that's all they'd ever seen working in there was pretty girls.
So do you think it's fair? Like, do you think they were hired on purpose and they weren't hiring anybody else just to get the restaurant to bring more people in?
That was the impression that I got.
Yeah, I even, like, outside of Wyoming, like California, up here, I noticed that a lot of places, like, that we live near do that. They tend to hire more attractive people just to bring in more business, I guess.
Do you think it's right that just because of your body type or the way you look, you can not get a job, whereas someone else who has a better body type or a better just body and everything, face, gets more jobs than the person that doesn't?
I don't think it's fair. I think anyone should be able to have a fair chance at getting hired. It should depend more on their work experience and stuff like that, not on how pretty they are.
I agree, and I feel that discriminating against a body type is just the same as discriminating against race or anything else such as that.
Yeah, I think that a lot of discrimination against races and religions and, you know, even body types is just something that we need to self-censor ourselves and kind of, you know, stop with all the negativity, which is what they're trying to teach us in school.
Do you think racism will be around forever?
Go ahead, Summer.
Oh, sorry. As long as there's different colors of people, I think there will be.
I think there will be to a certain extent. It may get to a better point where there's not so much racism, but I'm sure there will be racism for a long time.
What about the girl and that's got suspended, I believe, for saying that's so gay?
I think that was kind of ridiculous because, I mean, would it have been the same if she would have said that's so retarded just because it was a certain type of people that she was talking about? And she wasn't even talking about them. She was just expressing herself in a way that she thought was okay.
I think it was really unfair because I'm sure every person, you know, almost everybody has said, like, that's so gay or this is so retarded or, you know, this is followed by some type of negative thing. I mean, you can't You can't be so quick to judge on such little kind of things. I mean, to her, it was probably just saying, like, oh, this sucks, you know? It's the same thing. She didn't really probably mean anything negative by it. It's just her vocabulary.
Yeah, I believe in our society that words like that have come to mean so many things, and they're not just referring to the people that the word was meant for. They've come to mean something else, such as that sucks or whatever.
But occasionally it does, like when people say that's so Jew, and they're referring to something that's cheap or stupid. You're putting a negative stereotype on Jewish people, which really shouldn't be happening.
Well, sometimes saving money is a good thing. I don't know. I mean, you could take that in a lot of different ways, saying, like, things, it's all kind of how you take it, negative or positive.
And it's also the context in which the person is saying it and who the person is that is saying it and how they mean it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to, like, take into consideration when you're going to judge or at least suspend somebody for saying something.
Like so that. What about the girl with the Tigger socks that got suspended for wearing a cartoon character on her socks? And even though she was an honor student, she still got suspended.
I know that when I first heard about that, I thought for sure that Tigger socks must be some type of gang-affiliated piece of clothing. And then we come to find out that Tigger socks are actually socks with the Winnie the Pooh character on them. I thought that that was completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't believe that they're taking things that far. It's just, is that really going to solve something by sending a little girl home that's wearing her favorite cartoon character?
I don't think it will. I mean, I don't see how Tigger is in any way involved in a gang, and I don't see any way that the colors of Tigger are involved in a gang, so I don't see why she was sent home. I mean, I know the rules are that you can't wear logos or anything on your clothes, but still, it's just a cartoon character.
Yeah, there's no cartoon characters in any gangs, at least, that I've heard of lately.
It's the Winnie the Pooh clan. Yeah, and you also look at how upper white class people are left alone. I mean, you'll see some cops in certain states, certain areas, you're going to get pulled over more because you're black or because you're young or because you have piercings or tattoos. They're automatically going to assume that if you're driving a nice car or doing anything wrong, the second you do it, you're going to get pulled over. Whereas if you're a businessman in a suit and you're looking upper class and everything, they'll just leave you alone. Is that right?
I don't think that's fair. I think if you're doing something wrong, period, you should get pulled over. I know I've been pulled over for speeding, so even though, you know, I was, but that's besides the point. Like, I think anybody should be pulled over, and I know a lot of young kids that have been pulled over for just stupid, ridiculous things. Like, somebody got pulled over for going 5 miles over the speed limit, which you wouldn't see most people getting pulled over for that.
It's because they're young.
But is it also affected by who they know and who their parents are?
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially in small communities like, say, Laytonville or Willits or all the surrounding areas.
Yeah, I know a couple girls that have gotten pulled over and just been let go because the cops knew their parents so well.
Yeah, it's not very fair, so maybe, I don't know if there's anything we can do about it. Let's talk about it and let more people know, but there's something they really need to do. Especially, like, voting. This is something that really irritates me. I think that we should have maturity level testing so you can vote. So say even if you're 16 or 26, you should have to take a test to see if your judgment or your knowledge on certain subjects are, you know, good enough and well-established that you can make a decision to vote.
I completely agree with you because I believe that there are some younger people, like 16-year-olds, who would be perfectly capable of voting and having some substance behind their vote, whereas some people, some older people, don't really follow what's going on and just vote for whatever reason. Maybe they they vote for someone because of the way they look or something like that, and they don't really pay attention to the conflicts at hand and what really needs to be voted on.
But isn't everything restricted by your age? I mean, the movies you can see, what you can do, what places you can go into, everything's affected by your age. Should it all be affected by your age?
I don't think so. I think that a lot of the movies that they're saying are rated R these days don't really have much in them that I'm sure most kids haven't seen in their lives.
I think it's easier to slap a number on something and be like, okay, you have to wait till you're, you know, 18 to do this, because, you know, the average 18-year-old is like this. But then the ages haven't changed, like, in a while, and don't you think every generation is getting smarter, so maybe they should consider, you know, revising these ages, taking another, like, I don't know, kind of...
Some of the video games are way more graphic nowadays than the movies that you see, and any kid's allowed to see play with the video games with the killing and everything.
And even movies rated PG-13 are getting more graphic and getting more language in them and are becoming what R-rated movies used to be.
So, the Ukiah High staff is supposedly allowed to search MySpace pictures of their students, and a couple students have been suspended because of some pictures of them taking bong hits or drinking on their MySpace. Do you think that that's fair?
I think if their profiles are set to private, they should have absolutely no, like, no authority at all. And even if they look at it, they shouldn't have any, like, reason, like, they shouldn't have any authority of what they see on MySpace to, like, do to them when they're in school.
But if these kids are out there doing this, how do they know that they're not going to bring those substances onto the school campus?
Well, maybe, if they do see a kid with those pictures on their MySpace, they can, like, search them or have random searches at their school. Because that's more fair than just being like, oh, I saw a picture of you, and you're suspended now.
I think that would be a better solution.
What kids do outside of school isn't in the teacher's hands anymore. It's in your parents' hands. And if you're gonna, like, have pictures like that on your MySpace, it should be your parents that should be concerned about them and you partying and your, you know, maybe your parents even allow you. That's their choice.
Yeah, it shouldn't affect what happens to you in school. If you're not doing it on school grounds and you're not affecting anybody else during school time, it should be absolutely, they shouldn't get suspended.
We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about school dress restrictions or the rights of youth to express themselves. Should young people be subject to a different interpretation of freedom of speech than the adults? Would uniforms in the schools improve the situation at our schools? Is worrying about dress codes a waste of time? Should youth really have to give up all their rights when they step onto school property? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. Again, the number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
So an interesting article that I have right here is about some football players in Tennessee that were kicked off of the football team because they tried to get a coach fired because he was, like, abusing them and being very, I don't know, just really victimizing to these four players. And it got taken all the way to the Supreme Court. How do you feel about that?
I don't think that's fair at all. If someone's abusing you, you have the right to be able to speak your mind. I know if someone was abusing me, especially at school, I'd want everyone to know, because I wouldn't want other kids to get hurt either.
But wouldn't you want to be off the football team? I mean, why get upset about being kicked off when they're not going to fire the coach? So why do you want to stay on the football team with the same person that's hitting you and stuff?
Well, I don't think they did stay on the football team.
They got kicked off.
They were kicked off because they tried off. To get their coach fired for doing pretty illegal things.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I was listening to you guys earlier, and that thing you were talking about, how people discriminate at jobs and stuff, like hire more attractive people. I remember a story I heard that Abercrombie and Fitch only hires, like, young, attractive people. The salespeople who work there would actually approach the most attractive customers and offer them jobs because they felt that if the workers were attractive and wore the line of clothing, then the customers would think that that line of clothing would make them attractive as well.
Yeah, I've been in there and I've actually seen them come up to somebody and like ask them if they want to work there because they were pretty cute, you know?
Yep. And then you have other restaurants and types where they kind of have to discriminate against who they hire. Take the restaurant Hooters, for example. You know what kind of women they have working there, and they're not going to hire a man and put him in the tight little tank top and short little shorts.
True.
To be a waiter or anything, and I know they've actually had lawsuits on that, but that's just one they can't get around.
Yeah.
I think they should hire men. I mean, put a man in tight pants instead of a tight shirt.
That way Hooters could appeal to both sexes.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I think they actually got around that lawsuit by hiring men in other positions, like the position of dishwasher or bartender, and gave all the waitressing positions to women. But
that's not, I don't think that's entirely fair.
No, well, you got the namesake of the restaurant, so
yeah.
What else can you do?
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just listening, and I heard one of you say that a girl in your school got suspended because she said, "You're so gay."
Oh, that wasn't in our school. It was actually in a different city. But, yeah, she got suspended for saying that's so gay.
Okay. And then I heard you say that one of you say that you thought that that wasn't really a good reason for suspension because everybody says it.
Well, yeah. It's kind of a common saying these days, just kind of like this is so retarded or this is so, you know, jacked up. I mean, you could be referring to, a pregnant lady. And, I mean, it's all pretty harsh, but it's
come to mean a lot of different things in our society.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, what, you know, people have used a lot of terms, like people in this, there's a, people in certain areas that will use the N-word to describe things, and do you think just because a lot of people in the area say it, it makes it okay?
I think that that's a very provocative word, and I don't think that it should be said. I know that in a lot of rap songs, people refer to them as that word, and I don't think it's right at all, but that's so gay. She wasn't meaning it as, you know, towards someone. She was just basically saying that whatever she was doing, it sucked, and she didn't want to do it.
But that's saying that to say gay means it sucks.
Well, it also means happy, so it means sometimes...
You think she was saying it was so happy?
Well, not in this case.
Right. Well, when you say that most of us say it, do you think that they're saying something good about the person or about the thing or about the incident when they say, "That's so gay"? Do you think they're saying something nice?
I think it's pretty negative.
Right. Well, I just want to tell you that as a gay person, which I am, I find that offensive.
It is offensive. I mean, it's putting a negative stereotype on things, but we're growing up in a world where people, I mean, you have to get a harder skin on because people are going to say it, and it's it's just, it's becoming so common with just different religions, different, just what you are, anything. You're open to harassment every day.
Well, I still think that it starts with each individual to make a change. And that if each person commits to not saying such a thing, then that would be a better, make it a better world.
Well, I agree with you. But in this case, the girl was suspended for just for saying that. I mean, yes, it is a negative thing. But it might have been something she was just, like, grew up in her vocabulary, and she was suspended for it. And does it really have to start with suspending a little girl? I mean, couldn't it start with maybe the adults instead of the children?
Start with the adults? You mean the adults are saying it?
I've heard a lot of people in their 30s or 20s, you know, not full mature, like, you know, 40s or 50s. But, yeah, I've heard people say it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I still think that it is offensive. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Do you think people would be less offended if another word was substituted instead of gay, like that's queer? I mean, we all know that queer means odd or different, but are they going to get angry over someone saying that's so queer? I mean, it's still meaning gay. It's just another word uses.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, folks. I agree. I hate to make this pick on the kids' day, but I got asthma too, so I'll be going slow. You know, when you were talking about all the different kinds of discrimination, one of them was body type?
Yeah,
okay. Well, see, the problem that there's a big difference between being born with certain inherent genetic characteristics, like, you know, being a black person with brown eyes and kinky hair, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to affect that genotype. However, the genotype that you've been given for your body has many things that affect it, which are then expressed as a phenotype. But that phenotype is not set in stone. You can change it, you know, by the way you eat, the way you exercise, having plastic surgery, you know, all that stuff.
But should you have to change for the world? I mean, why should that affect you? Shouldn't the world just accept you the way you are?
Listen to me. You don't have to change for the world, but you can affect what you are. Discrimination, any discrimination laws are meant to protect people who are unable to change who they are, for one, and two, who are really no different than any of the rest. I wish I didn't have asthma. Let's see if I can get it straight. You know, anti-discrimination laws are meant to protect people from treatment because of who they are, who their innate person is. You know, that way they were born. And the way you look is a lot more than just the way you were born. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. And if you don't get it, I'm sorry.
I understand perfectly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
I know I'm a bigger girl myself, and I exercise. I eat pretty healthy most of the time. I play tons of sports. I do everything, and still I don't lose a lot of weight.
Yeah, I was born with red hair, and, you know, I'm different. I got teased a lot when I was little, but I'm not going to dye my hair to change. I'm just going to tough it out.
Yeah, I'm blonde. I get made fun of a lot for being blonde, but I'm smart, so I don't really pay attention to a lot of people.
So do you think that people do need to change themselves in order to get a job they want?
Well, it depends on how bad you want it.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon. I just want to thank you, gals. This is just a really great show, and it's really wonderful to hear, you know, what's going on inside your heads and how you're putting stuff together and the world that you live in. And it's really great. And also, I want to really thank you for putting yourselves out like this, because I think a lot of people, and of course, a million adults are calling. There was one younger gal. I just think it's really brave and courageous of you, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I wanted to tell you that first off. It lets, I think also, for, not to sound negative, but for a lot of adults in the world, I think it's really good for us to see how we're perceived and how our actions are affecting this world, and that as an adult we really need to, you know, recommit ourselves to trying to model positive, productive behaviors. And I thank God on this coast we do that a lot. So here I wanted to give you a little bit, because you guys started talking first about school uniforms, and I was in high school in the 70s. I was a bad girl, and my mom put me into a private Catholic school thinking that would be an appropriate place for me to get an education. And indeed, I did get an excellent education there. And the girls had to wear uniforms that were blue skirts, white shirts, gold blazer. That was it. The boys, not being the daughter of Eve, did not wear uniforms, but they did have a dress code. So right there, there was a clear delineation of, you know, our place, how we were to think, how we were to act. When that was discussed about dress codes, it was going to be a benefit because it would, quote, level the playing field. The implication was that girls spend so much time worrying about how they look that they weren't going to spend their time on their studies, which I found offensive. The hard part of wearing a uniform every day is, and especially when you're younger, you're trying to figure out who you are and do a little bit of individuation, and that takes that away. I did not find it a positive experience. I didn't get to be who I was, and I didn't get to explore that until I got out of high school, which, frankly, I think was not of benefit to me. It didn't serve me. We weren't dealing with gangs. I always have a hard time believing what you wear is going to make you who the person that you are, and maybe that's not right, but I always have a little bit of trouble with that. It also goes back to what you were talking about. Kind of tying in is the freedom of speech, and another gentleman was talking about anti-discrimination laws. In school, some of you were saying you shouldn't have the freedoms that you could have in the outside world, and I would put to you that you don't necessarily have those freedoms out in the outside world and should not. In the workplace, you have the right to do your job feeling safe, feeling respected, and to be able to do your work. And if someone's using language or profanity that offends you and you're not able to do your work, that you don't feel safe, and these get to be real gray areas. So I would put you that too much freedom is a detriment to a society, and that a certain amount of, we need to be civilized.
Yeah.
And you guys are great. So I would just encourage you more to keep exploring, keep up these discussions, talk with your friends, and then be good to each other and the people you run across, and we'll be okay.
Thank you, caller.
Peace.
Yeah, I really agree on what she said. She had some positive input about, especially our work environments. We do need to feel safe and that we're not going to be violated.
But some people just want to be free to do whatever they want to do. They want to be left alone. They don't want restrictions on their life. They just want to live the way they want to.
Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. What I have to say is, oh, I don't want you to feel bad about this, but I'm a retired police officer, and at the beginning of the program, you were talking about getting pulled over for going 5 miles an hour. Am I correct?
Yes.
5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Okay. I spent 35 years as a sheriff's deputy. And one of the most horrible things I ever had is I went to an automobile accident and the windshield was broken out. And it's night and I'm walking around with my flashlight trying to find out whatever happened and where. And I kicked something and I turned the light on and I bent down to look at it. And it was a young blonde with very long blonde hair's head. Just the head, going off as it went through the windshield. I still dream of that.
I don't think it was that we were talking about getting pulled over for going 5 miles over the hour or over the speed limit. It was that some people get pulled over. We were talking about they discriminate against who. Like, you can have an upper-class white person going 5 miles over the hour and a black man just behind him, and the black man's going to get pulled over before the white guy. Some of the cops around here.
Excuse me for interrupting you. This may be indeed true in certain places. But, ma'am, I am trained to listen to everything that's set in front of me and to not forget it. And you said being pulled over for driving over 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now, ma'am, what I want to reassure you is this. I don't care if you're driving a Lincoln Continental, a Cadillac, or whatever the heck the next best thing is. You go 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, I'm going to pull you over. And when I pull you over, you're going to see that I'm carrying my ticket book in the car or in my hand. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're young, attractive, or old and horrible. You're getting written because I'm so sick and tired of seeing people dead and injured. Okay?
Thank you, caller.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
Again, our number is 456-9991.
I think that the problem that Shiloh was discussing of people getting pulled over more often is just located in certain areas, and we're not saying that that is how it is everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make a stereotype of all police officers are racist and they're going to pull over a black man or a Mexican before they pull over someone else. It's just that in some areas that is the case.
Caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Comment about a comment that you were making earlier in the show. I believe you were speaking of perhaps testing the knowledge of people prior to voting.
Yeah.
There's a historical precedent for that. It was used as a way to deny poor black people the vote. Show up at the polling place. You couldn't name an article of the Constitution, recite the preamble. You were denied the right to vote. And I think it would be abhorrent to bring that back into the political sphere now.
I believe we were more discussing a maturity test, not so much intelligence or knowledge.
Just like
okay, but what form would that take that wouldn't be completely exclusive to one class or another of society?
We're trying to see that you're not voting for someone that you think looks the best or someone you think is just cool. We're trying to see that you're voting for the person that you think is most suitable for the job that they're trying to do.
Perhaps my criteria is how good you look. Why should I be denied the vote? Who are you to say that? How is that any different?
Well, in my case, I'm under 18 and I would like to vote because I feel that I should. So maybe I should take why I think I should be able to vote to somebody who can then determine if it's a good enough reason. And like maybe my friend here wants to vote because she wants to pick the most attractive one because she thinks if we have an attractive president, then more people are going to be pretty. So she could take that to, you know, a certain person who would then judge if it's, you know, a good reason and we're either denied or we're, you know, accepted.
Then you're arguing my point perfectly. I think that if you think that the voting age should be lowered so that more people your age can vote.
That was my main.
Across the board, though, not because someone satisfies your or someone else's criteria for what's knowledge or interest or understanding. Or do you understand where I'm going?
I do.
I don't think that you have the right to tell others that they can't vote for someone for their reason.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I really never thought about it like that.
Okay, well, I enjoy your show, and I think you're doing a wonderful job. I just kind of wanted to make myself known. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Again, our number is 456-9991. Thank you.
So another interesting topic that we would like to talk about is teachers and what they're allowed to say or argue or kind of have a biased opinion towards when they're like teaching us.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. Hey, yeah, I was just kind of back to the fellow that just called in. I think he might have spun it a funny way because I don't think you were trying to lower the voting age so that you could, that just any 16-year-old could vote. I sounded more to me like you wanted to be able to affect the government and the processes that they entail. And the reason that people have or hold an office is to do things and make change. And I don't think, you know, we're trying to get away from image. Image doesn't have much to do with how life is kind of...
politically?
Yeah, exactly. Politics and making change happen and affecting lives. You really shouldn't be voting for people for that reason. And it sounded like you were trying to test somebody's IQ or, like, political intelligence in that vein. So I just heard you agree with them, and I was going, wait, I don't think she actually means to do that.
Well, but, in a sense, my original argument was that certain people of different ages might have different maturity levels, and hence that might make a difference on the voting age. Like, say, you know, somebody is 16, but they kind of have the mind of a 18-year-old in their political sense and how they think would best, like, you know, benefit our country. Hence, they want to vote. So I was thinking if something could be done, that would be like a little fantasy.
Right, no, totally. When you say maturity, it sounds like you're thinking the, like, mental maturity.
In a political kind of sense, like a mental maturity, yeah.
Right. So, kind of, it didn't sound like he sounded like more he thought that you were just trying to get more 16-year-olds able to vote. Maybe I misheard.
Yeah, I think his point was that if one can, then the rest can, and you know, in a way, that's kind of fair. But it wasn't my original point.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you heard that, but what I really wanted to call to say was, when you get, you were talking about discriminating on looks and how that shouldn't happen. It's funny when you have, you know, independent businesses and they have a certain kind of goal in mind for their business and what it's going to be like. And even something like Hooters, this, you know, 25-year-old thinking, I'm going to start this business with a bunch of girls with, you know, large chests. And, you know, it's funny when you think about this certain guy that wants to start a sports team and he's not going to have a bunch of, you know, gaming nerds on his team because they don't have the ability. You know what I mean?
True.
But...
And, go ahead.
In that sense, you do need to have an ability to play a sport. But if you need to have a certain body type that is athletic enough to play that sport. However, if you're a waitress, perhaps you don't need to look a certain way or have a certain body type to have the skills that you need to fulfill that job.
Absolutely. For a waitress in general, but when you think of a specific business like Hooters, you're looking at what is the goal they're trying to pull off here because people don't go there solely for the food.
Yeah, kind of like a strip club or something, like Hooters.
Yeah, and it's funny when you think of kind of, you try to censor people and make everything equal, but then you end up kind of squelching somebody's personal dream, and then it's like, well, where does somebody's personal dream kind of cross over into you're hurting other people? So in my opinion, the real world has a lot to do with kind of, if, you know, for me, I'm a girl, I'm, you know, 5'6", I'm athletic, but I'm nowhere near going to be like an NBA star. And my goal in life isn't, I kind of have to suit that to what I think my, you know, I'm able to do.
Yeah.
And for you guys, like, I'm sure you guys have certain visions for your life, and I'm not trying to say don't go for them if they don't, you know, suit your body type or personality, but you do kind of have to, like, prune your vision of your future so that it is realistic, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you, caller.
No problem.
Let's take modeling, for example. Don't you have to be a certain body type, though, to be a model?
Yeah, well, your stereotypical model, just like the earlier caller had a point about Abercrombie.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. This first-time listener, and I just caught you. And I'm, first of all, amazed at the level of your maturity.
Thank you.
I don't know how old you are, but I think I'm just marvel at that when I think of how I was at your age. And also, you were speaking about freedom, and I think I'd like to offer a definition of freedom and then give an example of how it worked in my life. For example, to me, freedom is everybody doing whatever they want as long as it doesn't violate the rights of others or the other people's space. And in my own life, I remember this was many, many years ago, I went back, I had visiting my family, I hadn't been home for many years, and I arrived at my sister's with really long hair, and my sister was aghast and said, "You're not respecting me coming here with that long hair." And I was taken aback, and then I realized, wait a minute, she's not respecting me, you know, because
yeah.
I'm not hurting her, I'm just expressing myself. And so I think that we have to really think about that kind of situation when we're thinking that maybe we should take some people's, you know, so-called, they're being out of hand or they have too many rights or something like that. I think we need to think about examples like that, biases as opposed to, being intolerant. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been me, Shayla,
Shiloh,
Summer,
Jessica.
Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from Willett Studio. You Speaks Out is grateful for the support from HALT, Healthy Starts for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162. Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.com. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of September. That's September 30th at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.